Good morning and happy new year. Lifehouse Church, yeah, it's here, you know. You think about it, you know, it was a year ago on this day that you said happy new year. You can always think about this past year and said, oh, was it happy? Aunt, was it happy last year? Was it last year?
No.
No?
Last time I said happy new year, no.
No, last the last time. But now every happy new year is a happy new year. All right. Well, guys, we're done with the one-year Bible, but we would like to continue the idea of having various ones of you to come up at the beginning of the message portion of the service and just share a portion of Scripture that either Bob or myself will select. And so we would like to do that, to kind of keep the word in front of us, coursing through our hearts and our minds, but also to engage you guys more actively in the church service. So we're going to try this and see how it goes. Call it the reading of the service. So today's reading and all that. So we've got that. We've got that going on. So Olivia is going to read a portion of Scripture that I have selected for her. And then after that, we will open up the mic for any and all of you to share a snippet of what you got out of the one-year Bible readings, out of the messages, out of life from last year. Try to keep it within a reasonable time frame, all right? And so, yeah, or we will be going from one day to the next instead of 1 hour to the next. So you need something to share?
No, can I share
one
song?
Yes, you can. After you're done reading the psalm, you can go right into what you have to share. And then anybody who wants to come up after Olivia's done is free to do so. You don't need to wait for Bob and I to recognize you. Just come on up, share what's going on in your heart and your mind and your life, and then you feel free to take a seat. Okay? So the message of today is from you. You are the one giving the message today. So with that, let's pray and get this thing started. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for last year. Honestly, my phone constantly gets alerts of this tragedy or that tragedy. I just got one this morning of a bus in Mexico that somehow got into a terrible crash. 15 lives gone just like that. They were not planning that for today. That was not their plan when they woke up this morning. One could say it was your plan. You know every day of ours, every day of our lives before one of them is yet to be. You know. We don't. Let us, help us to take the opportunity, take the risk of living life every single day, to not waste it, but to live it, engage in it, experience it to the full. And we want to do that right now as Olivia shares from the psalm, as we share from our hearts. Help us to make the most of this moment in time. I ask you, God, for this. Bless now our time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm 97:1-9. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the forest coastlands be glad. Dark clouds surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire spreads ahead of him and burn up all his foes, both his lightning flashes out across the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like racks before the load of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness. Every nation sees his glory. Those who worship idols are disgraced. All who brag about their worthlessness, gods, for every god must bow to him. Jerusalem has heard and rejoiced, and all the towns of the Jude are glad because of your justice, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are surprised over all the earth. Your excellent fall above all gods. You too love the Lord, hate evil. He protects the lives of his godly people and rescue them from the power of the wicked. Light shines on the godly and joy on those hearts are right. May all who are godly rejoice in the Lord and praise his holy name. Sing Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has been a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The end of the earth have seen the victory of all God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praises and sing for joy. Sing your praises to the Lord with the harp, with harp and meditation song, with the trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord, the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord, for he is coming to the Jews. The earth he will the Jew the word with justice and the nation with fairness. The past year 22, the 1 year Bible I've been reading every day, getting in the Word with God deeply and having a stronger relationship with Jesus, my King, and I just like his word so much, and the faith. This was the year I've been getting.
I think the one verse that stood out to me throughout this entire 1 year Bible is April 6th, and it's Proverbs 12:19-20. Truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. Deceitful's hearts that are plotting evil, joyful's hearts that are playing peace. And what stood out to me on that is, don't take things for granted to give it to you. You just gotta cherish it. And just live life to the fullest.
What really stood out to me is the Psalms and reading the one-year Bible. And I just found a book that still has the one-year Bible. And I'm just thinking about reading that one, going through it every day. Like, today the first Psalm is, oh, let the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never withered, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They are being commanded at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. You know, it's like, it's really true. I feel like if you're wicked, you'll lead to destruction because you don't get nowhere. But if you're godly, you lead to eternal life. That's what I got out of it.
Okay, I caught something here in the last couple of days that I've never noticed before. And I've read the entire Bible multiple times, actually. Yeah, that's a whole different story I can tell you later. It's kind of funny. I'll tell you it. I was challenged once in college by my mentor, Pat Sokol. He said, Luke, I think it'd be a good idea for you to try to read the Bible 3 times all the way through this year. I was like, okay, it's like I'm in college, what else am I doing? So I did the math and I figured out that was 9 chapters a day, and I did it. And I was, well, I got 2.5 times through the Bible, and at some point in like August or September, October, somewhere in there, I was telling Pat, I was like, yeah, because you told me to read the Bible 3 times. He's like, oh, I didn't mean like exactly 3 times or anything, like just. And then I lost all my motivation. I did not finish the 3rd time through, but I, like, I mean, that was the summer I was in New Orleans working, like, all day, every day, and I was still trying to keep up, like, 9 chapters. Anyway, but I noticed something that I've never noticed before, and I think just as a preface, I'll try to do this in broad strokes, but we've talked, as a church family, we've talked through the idea of, like, emotional development, and compared that even with physical development and just the idea that, like, physically you're supposed to grow up and there are stages to that. Emotionally, we're supposed to grow up and there are stages to that. And I think that I'm learning that in love, just as a love relationship, we're supposed to grow up into love and there are stages to that. And I'm talking specifically about the marriage relationship where love is, like, it's just dynamic. Everything is in play. And I think for Melissa and I, this year, this has just been a different kind of year. We had our 3rd child. It's been not the easiest experience for us. And we've just been stretched in ways that we've never been stretched before. It's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, there's more required of us than has been. And so we've had to grow. And I think one of the things that has happened is that we've gotten to this point where, you know, if you're tracking the development of this love relationship, it used to just be the two of us for a while. And that was very, very different. And then there were 3 of us, and then there were 4 of us, and now there's 5 of us. And progressively what started to happen is, you know, when it was just 2 of us, we just, you know, we had a lot of flexibility. We could travel at the drop of a hat. We could go see a movie on a whim, you know, like anything. It didn't really take a whole lot of planning. And nowadays it's like, boy, Melissa, we need to get you some time alone. And she's like, how? When? You know, things change. And that's all just kind of in play. And even this week we sat down and we're just like, you know, if we're not paying attention here, like I work at home and we still, it's very possible that we'll never like actually see each other in a given day. Like in the sense of like actually spending quality time together. And I thought it was interesting. And here's don't read into the first half of this verse because it's the second half of the verse that that caught me. But in Malachi, on December 30th, this was the verse, Malachi 2, verse 16, it is God himself speaking. He says, "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife." And what I was amazed by, what jumped out at me was, what? I've heard the phrase, guard your heart, before. But in Christian circles, that is always for the women. And it's in the context of don't awaken love until it's time, right? It's something around Proverbs or Song of Solomon that's in there. But that's, I did not know men were ever told to guard their heart. And it's God himself saying it here. And he's saying, and it's interesting because in the Bible, when women are told to guard their hearts, that's the idea. Listen, just don't awaken love before it's time. When you start it, you want to go 0 to 100. So make sure it's a safe place, right? Make sure that you're in a proper context so that you don't have to. I don't know what the word is. I'm trying to think of that. You don't have to like pace yourself or something. Like make sure it's. It's all right, but it's different for men. He's saying here to men, do not be unfaithful to your wife. And I just wonder, it just struck me because it was very timely. Like, this is the idea. I feel like in the stage, in the development of Melissa and my relationship, this is a time where it's just really, really easy to, not with any squabbles, not with any screaming fights or anything like that, no violence or anything, but it's just easy to grow apart if you're not paying attention to it. And God is saying, guard your heart to the men, to me. Saying, this is the time. Double down. Don't make your excuses. There are always going to be excuses. But you've got to focus. You've got to know what's important here. And do it. Guard your heart from, this is just also in my mind, we live in a very affluent country. Right? It's very, very, and I know myself. I like movies. I like video games. I like stories. There are a lot of different ways that if I wanted to, I could escape. It's not hard to do. It's not even inherently evil to do, but if I'm not guarding my heart, guard my heart against what? Against being unfaithful, right? For women, it's about guard your heart, don't awaken love until it's time, but for men, we got to guard our hearts about being unfaithful. And I think unfaithful in this context is nothing like, you know, I mean, the verse started with, for I hate divorce. That's not where we're at. Just to be clear, that's not where we're at. But the sequence of it can begin, and it's God telling men to guard their hearts against being unfaithful. And to me, that was just about, like, you got to be aware here. You got to be proactive. There are a lot of ways that you could just kind of let things go, and they will fall into disrepair, and then you may find yourself, without ever meaning to, at a point where you're just, the marriage is bankrupt, simply because there are just ways to be distracted or go on and do different things. God says, guard your heart. Don't let yourself look for distractions or other things. You got, like, this is a time where it's harder to be close than ever. This means it's time to double down, you know, those kind of things. So I didn't know that was even in here. And I thought it was just fascinating. And I must have read it twice at least. Third time's the charm. You know, it was cool. It was timely. It was good. And just kind of a neat thing too, to sit here and be like, wait a second. If I'm sitting here thinking like we're powerless or like our lives are running away without us, that's not a right way to think. Like, we've got to be proactive. Guard my heart. So that's it.
It's just tall enough. I like it. So this year has been an exciting year for me, and also has been stressful leading up towards the end of the year. And I actually think I owe a number of people some apologies. So like Bob and Tim and Luke and Colin and Lance and Bo and Steve-O and Wayne, all of which in common have had to deal with me in a men's household. Sorry, guys. Being married now and living a little while with Bethany has helped me to recognize just some of the things that I really wasn't paying attention to living with the guys, and what I wasn't actively looking for when rooming with guys. I would give anybody the advice to to live with someone else before getting married. I've been giving that advice out into people looking at relationships or just trying to get off on their own, trying to be alone. It's just not a good idea. You guys were right. You guys were right. It's a major way to prepare for relationships down the line. So out of this year, out of this marriage so far, recognize the... When I was living with the guys, I really wasn't paying attention so much as to what the guys wanted, what the guys were trying to accomplish, what the guys wanted to do. the unity that, you know, Steve Obo and you, Lance, you guys wanted out of the household. And I was just like, dude, I'm just here to make my rent cheaper. I just want to play on my computer. I'm just kind of by myself doing my own thing. And, you know, thought it was kind of a cool idea, but I really wasn't contributing to that household. And all the times that that Wayne or Colin wanted to play games, but I just kind of wasn't in the mood for those games. You know, there's not always times where I want to watch the exact same thing that Bethany wants to watch, but you do it anyways because you do it out of love. You desire to be with that person more than the activity that you're going about. So I'm seeing that more now because of the desire to be with the person that I'm with now. Or how many times has Bob told each and every one of you that the dinner table is a sacred place, that food just unites people? Bethany's cooking is amazing. It is so awesome. All meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I love you. Thank you. Yeah. I wasn't doing that. We weren't really sitting down and having dinners when it was me, Colin, and Wayne, and it was even rare on occasions with Bo, Steve-O, and Lance, and even Rex as well. Rex was a part of that household for a short duration as well. So sorry, Rex. So that's kind of what I've gotten out of this year. You know, just as you were saying, Luke, to, you know, guard your heart, pay attention to what your mission is. You know, edge how many times we tell the men, like, you know, when you go home, be prepared. There's still a war to wage when you get home. This weekend might have been amazing, but there's still more work to do in your life. You'll still have to go back to a world where this isn't, you don't have as much support. You don't have a weekend away every single weekend. And that's just straight up true. Just absolute truth. We still live in a world. We still have wars to wage when we go to work. When we wake up, we still have to wage a war in correcting our hearts and making sure that we, if we're going to live the life that we're called to live, we have to set our hearts right every single day. And I've been seeing that and working on that and feeling that in my personal life every single day. I love listening to music when I get into those inspections. I've had a couple songs here just recently I added to the list, and I would love for everybody to hear them. Even Bob asked for the list of the songs even after inspections, because I think you wanted to listen to them too. Practice What You're Preaching. Practice What You Preach is a really great song. It's fun. I think we should sing it here, by the way. Or no. Amazing Amounts of Amazing Grace. You should look that one up. I meant to tell you that and send that to you, but I didn't. But yes, they're a lot of fun. And that's what I've been kind of picking up on this year, learning this year, is that you work for it every day, renew your heart every day, put on Christ, as you said, every day, as the Bible says, every day. And don't forget about the people around you. Especially, you know, this being such a small church, if you are going to walk through those doors and say that you love everybody here, let's show it. I'm going to try better this year, too. Thanks, guys.
Well, one thing that has struck me and been just a great encouragement is, you know, Aunt Manson's the households. I was in a couple of households of seven guys, and it's amazing. We always ate our evening meal together. Tremendous time. I was very pleased to know that we were all literally on the same page through the year. And on Sunday mornings as well, that's quite a task to read some of these entries. Sometimes we listened. But like you say, Val, the Old Testament is not the dispensation we're living in. There's much encouragement. I think a lot of fusion is going to be from the Old Testament and plenty of encouragement there. But we're actually living in the New Testament. And so sometimes I'd get a little ahead in my reading. I mean, you can't read Genesis about Joseph and
just do that day's reading, right? So you read the whole story. It's really, really, really good. Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. Luke likes stories, I tell you. I know the best storyteller. But when I got ahead, or when it was just a bunch of genealogies and so forth, and really not a whole lot there that I could glean, I would go to the New Testament. And I just want to announce that that's okay. We can go to the New Testament. Spent a lot of time in Romans again, and just the most powerful, book I know of in the Bible. Spent a lot of time in Romans 5 and Romans 6, and I noticed something new. I just passed this on from Romans 6. So Romans 6 basically is telling us that Jesus died for my sin, and it's over. He did it for me. I don't have to try. It's done, finished. The death he died to sin once for all. Okay, so then verse 11 says, consider it so. Well, wait a minute. I thought he did it already. Why do I have to consider it? Well, this brings up a very important understanding that we do have choice in the matter. And the interesting thing is that it won't feel like it is true. It won't feel like I am dead to sin. Otherwise, I wouldn't have to consider it to be so. But the new thing that I noticed is in about verse, let's see, 14, 15, about 15 or 16, somewhere in there, he says, so just as you presented the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness leading to death, so present yourself, that's partly verse 11, but so present yourself to God as slaves of obedience. And this is an interesting thing that is true of any person here who has trusted in Jesus Christ. The Bible calls you a slave to obedience. Not in the sense that you don't have any choice in the matter, but in the sense that this is your natural habitat. And the little flavor that I was getting as I was meditating on this is that it's at those times when I really, really, really want to go do whatever I wanted to do. If I'm working on my floor in my house, I want to go work on that. If Patty and I are watching a Charles Dickens movie, and it's in several sections, and we only had time for one section, I really, really, really want to do that. But it's not time for that right now. And so there's this flavor of understanding, oh yeah, this is what it feels like to live, that I'm a slave to obedience. I just need to rewash my mind right now. That's what I need to do. That's what I need to do. That's what the slave needs to do. And it says the outcome of my slavery to obedience is righteousness. That's what comes of it. When we obey, we become righteous. This is how we walk by faith. The new thing was this flavor of understanding. Oh, now is when it's happening. Now is when I'm choosing, when I really want to go do what I want to do. But I know it's not the time for that right now. Now is time for this. Now is time for reading the Bible with Patty. Now is time for praying with Patty. Now is time for thinking about Lifehouse. I'm a pastor. Now it's time to think about Lifehouse. It's not time for that right now. This is who I am. This is who you are. You are a slave, and it says you've become obedient from the heart to this new form of teaching. The new form of teaching is we walk by faith and we are slaves to obey. Isn't that encouraging? It's just good to know. I have another day, Tim. No, you go ahead. That's all.
First, I would like to share a verse from 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Our purpose is to please God, not people. That's something that I'm sure everyone has struggled with, because pleasing people is so easy to do, even though you can't really tell that you're actually doing it. And it's difficult because the world has a lot of expectations that you don't have to accommodate. And then one of the teachings that I've always remembered is the one about gossip and slander. Kind of touched me somehow. I just always remember that. So that's it. So I don't necessarily have a verse specifically from the Bible, but because there were many that did actually like affect me in the moment, or they touched me in a situation I was in. But the more prominent thing that I was thinking about was when I first started talking to Anthony. We weren't even dating. We were dancing on the topic of what it would be like to pursue each other. And one of the first things he had said after we started video chatting was, "Oh, hey, when we start dating, I want to read the Bible with you." And I was like, "Whoa, slow down there, Tiger." Because to me, my time with God is very precious. It's something that it's hard to include other people in, or for a long time, it's been hard to include other people in. And in previous relationships of getting close to people, that's one of those things where, like, no, it's my time with Jesus, my time with God. And it took a little bit of convincing, but eventually we did start reading together. And it hit me that, yes, there's like Bible studies I've been a part of. I've never like avoided a church group. But to truly delve into time with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ is so important in keeping that unity in our family. And it's not just about meeting together and enjoying each other's company. It's about truly worshiping God in that moment together. And so breaking into that with Anthony, I think, had helped settle in our foundation of having Christ between us, of having God in our circle all the time. And we weren't perfect doing it every single day. We missed a lot of days, but we would catch up and everything. But just having that foundation and growing from that rock had really, really helped us. And that was something that was very important to me.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I got plenty of time. All month, even. I know, right? It's interesting how many those last two comments kind of feed into mine a little bit. Actually, Bob started with a passage from Scripture that I was going to bring to light here. Because it's interesting, to be honest with you, I was thinking about what I got out of reading the one-year Bible, and my first thought was nothing. Isn't that awful? It's like this is my career. Yeah, pastor. It's like I don't remember really getting anything out of it. And so that was bothering me, okay? And so we were into our last week of reading the Bible, and I was thinking, gosh, did I get anything out of this? I know I did, because I had to do messages on it every other week. So but nothing was standing out. Nothing was just overriding a major theme or anything. There was just this nagging thing. You know how you can have something kind of going on in your head? You can't quite put your finger on it. And it was kind of like that. It's like, but there is something, but I don't know what it is. And I don't know how to even explain it or define it. And so I'm reading that last week, and I get to the verse that Bob was referencing, but I want to point out something just after that. Okay, so we're talking Revelation chapter 21, all right? So verse 6, it says, "And he said to me, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." This is ESV. Okay, so that's all great. It goes, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Awesome stuff. Then he goes on and says this, but, and always have to be careful whenever the Bible sticks in that conjunction. It's like, but. Okay, brace yourself. So this is what he goes. All right, so great. I'll be his God. You'll be my son. We'll live happily ever after. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and the sexually immoral, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. You certainly don't want to be in that group. But it always had bothered me. And when that he mentions, he starts off even with cowardly. And it's like, what's wrong with that? You know, for those of you guys who watch Scooby-Doo, I mean, they're all cowardly. Like, you know, why would that be? You know, were you courageous or not? No, I kind of cowardly. You know, I was afraid of what other people thought. That's it, lake of fire for you. And I was like, why would the cowardly be such a big deal? And that's when I had the aha. Ah, you know, I always think, you know, of courageous as being like Noah building the ark. That took something, man. You know, build an ark on dry land. What were you thinking, you know? Or Abraham, right? You know, living the life in land of Ur, and go to this land I'm going to show you. You know, pack up, move out. Like, and you're just like, okay, somewhere out there. You know, it's like that took some courage. And so I think of those big things. You know, Moses standing up to Pharaoh, let my people go, you know, over and over and over again, you know, realizing it's like off with his head, you know, it just took courage. That's what I always think of, you know, and it's like, well, why would it be such a bad thing to be cowardly? Because there's some pretty scary things going on out there, and it'd be all right to just say, I'll pass. And then we read about some of those prophets. What really got me was Ezekiel, okay? Laying on your side for what, 390 days? And I thought, this is ridiculous. Why would you ever do that? Nobody does that. And that's what really started to get to me. It's like, you know something? Sometimes God asks us to do some really crazy things. Some things that we would not do with reason alone, or if you just want to felt like it. I'm sure he didn't feel like it after day 3. You know, but 390 days, it took courage to just obey God. It took courage. And I started thinking about that. And you know, the courage to go against the flow of our culture. You know, the courage to say no to your lustful desires. You know, you want to look at your porn or check out that girl as she walks by or whatever and just say, no, that takes courage. That's what that takes. It takes courage to not give in to your own impulses, but rather to just obey God. And I just started realizing that cowards are the ones that give in. They give in to their fleshly temptations. They're the ones that give in to the flow, the bandwagon, what their friends are doing. You know, the cowardly just give in. They don't stand their ground. They don't obey God come hell or high water. They give in to whatever. They don't show the courage to obey God even when they don't feel like it, even if it sounds crazy, even if nobody else is doing it, that takes courage. Now I think about Ariana and her friends, you know, it's like, it takes courage to not just, you know, abandon your gender and embrace some other gender just because everybody else is doing it. It takes courage to say, no, God made me a female and I'm good with that. And even if I don't like it, I'm still good with that. You know, I'm sure there's always times when we wish, you know, we were a guy or wish we were a girl. But it takes courage to say, no, God made me this way on purpose. He had a purpose, a plan, a reason, and he's a good God, and so I'm going to go with God on this. It takes courage. And that's when I started to realize that's this big theme that God's been showing me throughout this entire Bible is the courageous ones are the ones that just obey God. No matter what anybody else is doing or thinking or saying, you're going with God. I'm with him, you know? And that's what I, at the end of the book, as I was gnawing over this cowardly phrase, it just dawned on me. And that's what I got. That's what I got. Okay, thank you. And thank you all for sharing. This was huge, really awesome. We're now just going to transition to our offering. You know how that goes. This is a time for courage, isn't it, guys? For crying out loud, there's inflation going on. I took a picture the last time I went to Quickstar of the price of eggs, $4.99. What? You guys should be standing in a line in front of my house saying, hey, you got a dozen eggs. And yes, we do. We actually have two dozen sitting there waiting for somebody. It's still 10%. It has not inflated. How awesome is that? So, yes, there's inflation. And so, therefore, you count every penny twice. But it's still 10%. And it's still God's call on our lives. Even, I mean, it's not necessarily 10%. You can give more. I love that. It's like, oh, you mean I don't have to give 10%? And we think less. How about more? So this is your time to show courage. Obey God, even if it might mean you won't get that pizza or that pop that you're really hoping to have. This is the time for that. So guys, let's pray. You know where the obelisk is. It's just us. You know how this works. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for commanding us to do hard things. How about that? I've never really prayed and thanked you for having us do hard things. I don't like doing hard things. But really, it gives me a chance to make a stand on who I am and what I believe, what I will live and die for. And so, God, thank you for this chance to give to you, to your work, to your kingdom, to the life of Lifehouse Church. Thank you. I pray you'd bless every gift and every giver. Use it for your purposes. God, advance your kingdom in our generation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, Lifehouse on Thursdays will be canceled after Fusion. So on Thursday, January 12th, block class will resume with a new video series on creation. Fusion is coming up next week. It all happens January 5th through the 7th, 2023 at Howery Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Bill Young, pastor from the Rock Church in Salt Lake City, is the main speaker. The title is Better and will be on OT Stories with a focus on how Jesus is better than all that came before him. Register at FusionMidwest.com. Is there anything else?
Yep. It's him. Uh-huh.
birthday to you. Well, with that being said, God bless your day, your weekend, your life.
Oh, yeah?